He's going to feel really self-conscious.
I'm going to do it in a, hello, welcome. I'm going to keep up this voice for the whole podcast. Did I mention I went to drama school and I did some radio classes? Hi, welcome to the Forest School podcast. I'm Gemma.
I'm Lewis.
We're from Children of the Forest. And we're sitting here in the woods. It's lunchtime. And we are going to chat about Forest School.
Cool. Okay. Two questions, because the first one's really big. So the first one is, what is the role of a parent or non-leader adult at a Forest School session? So I think there's two bits in there, whether you're a parent and directly responsible and already have a relationship with the child, or I think non-leader adult, I'm thinking more TAs, I'm thinking other people that come in. Start with parents.
Yep.
I guess at our sessions, primarily they're the main person that's responsible for their child. Because the way we run our sessions, they're there to we're there to put the activity on. Yep. They're there to facilitate their child joining in or not joining in.
Yeah, and taking and being the person who responds directly to their child. In the way that the sessions are primarily child-led, so we will offer something and kind of bellow out that we're doing an activity, but it's up to the parent to either go with the child's idea about what they want to do. So do they want to go and join in, or do they actually want to run down the hill? And how the parent responds to the child's idea is kind of big, isn't it? Because you do get some parents will, especially parents who might have been used to going to a more normal inverted commas
structured didactic,
yeah, would be like, come on then, right, stop but playing here now, come and join in.
In a village hall toddler group, there's less other things to do, is my experience, is that it's like the paints are out and there might be some like soft play plastic or plasticky toys in the other corner, but it's kind of like the paints are out. Whereas if we go, oh, we're going to go and do some like clay animals, there's swings, climbing nets, mud kitchens. Yep. You know, there's so much more that they can do.
Yeah, and animals and weather.
Yeah, playing with the forest.
Yeah, that suddenly happen.
But I do think I think the people that get the most out of Forest School are the parents who, if we're involved in making clay animals, the parents that are getting the most out of Forest Schools are the ones that find a little bit of time to feed back to us and say they've been down in the treehouse all day, because we can't, as much as you can watch most of a session, it's so helpful if a parent comes up and says, oh, we've been off looking for bugs, or we've been, something that they think, to them it might just be like, oh, I'm just letting them know where we've been, but to us we're looking at it going, actually, right, okay, we can go from that.
Yeah, similarly, those parents that talk about what the child has been talking about at home after the session or in between sessions, that says, oh my goodness, they were really talking about that activity, really talking about the beetle that we found, or really singing that song that we sung over and over again. And so you get some pointers there about what the child is.
Because sometimes they do need to digest stuff, don't they?
It's
you might think, oh, they didn't get much out of that bug hunt. And then the parent comes back next week and says, we've been looking for bugs all week. And you go, oh,
exactly.
I didn't twig how much of an influence it had.
Like the fire lighting, you know. Yeah, try it here and then actually go home and do it.
Yeah.
That was amazing when the parent fed that back to us.
I think there's, because you were saying the other day about role modelling to do with if your child does want to join in with an activity or wants to go off and do their own thing, and as a parent, possibly compared to other toddler groups, there's more of a...
Yeah, well, there's more opportunity and also benefit to the adult playing themselves. Mm. And that's quite tricky for some parents, because we don't often, as parents, get that opportunity. And it is different to being in a school with your child or in a normal toddler group. But... yeah, you kind of modelling through playing and experimenting I think has more of a place at Forest School than it might,
and it's encouraged differently. I don't know why I'm comparing everything to a village hall toddler group, where because you've got more, possibly more eyes on you, and you know that something's, so there's more of a your job is to constantly clean up after your child, or like put things back where they came from,
or chat though, you know. There's more risk. There's inevitably more risk, isn't there, in the woods, and that's all part of forest school. Even if you're not doing, in inverted commas, risky activities, you're in a risky environment, and that's a positive for sure. But it does mean that your role as a parent is you have to be on your child more than you would.
It's something you do
with them.
You do with them, rather than taking them to it.
Definitely.
Where you might take them to a soft play and go, right, off you go burn off some energy. This is something that you... to get the most out of it, because you can, you know, you can, to an extent, drop off and have a chat. If the kids are involved in something, and the longer we know a child or a family, the more we can start to say, all right, we'll go off with those, and some parents are then happy to say, oh, okay, well, I'll hang back here if they're happy with
you. And the more that the child and the adult knows the environment, so the longer they've been coming, the freer they can be, because... you know, they know that the child can go up from that direction because they can see them from here, or they know what's down the hill, so they're happy for their child to go by themselves this time. And similarly, the child, after a few weeks, will start exploring a little bit further and feel more confident with that. And they just get to know how to be safe around the fire and things like that.
And like they build up a trust.
Yes.
The parents build up a trust of what they're, you know, having seen your kid on the, like we've got that pallet castle climbing frame thing that the kids built, and the first week most parents or parents and kids use it, the parent is almost holding on to them the whole time.
Yep.
And then I've noticed this week parents sat by the fire while the kid climbs on it, because they've kind of gone, oh, I know he's going to do this and he's going to jump off this, and and like that's absolutely fine.
We were going back to sort of playing as an adult and taking part in especially like kind of making activities.
I think you notice it more with making activities.
Yeah, you notice sometimes parents sort of voicing some kind of embarrassment at what they perceive to be their lack of skill in a particular activity. So, you know, something very simple like lashing wool, lashing two sticks together with wool. And the amount of parents at different times that will say, oh, I'm just rubbish at this. I've always been rubbish at this. I can't knit. I can't sew. Oh, I'm just rubbish. And they'll very loudly kind of declare that. And
we've said it's kind of a, it's a preemptive, I think for a lot of people, it's preemptive. I'm going to say I'm bad at this because then I've owned the you're not very good at this. Whereas if I, it's the fear of like looking like you've tried really hard and done poorly.
Yeah.
Whereas actually forest school is so process, not product, that you know, like we have, you know, like them sitting, there's parents that are sitting the other day and weaving, and they it wasn't necessarily about what they got at the end of it. It was just a, oh, this is just very therapeutic and very repetitive, and I like this, and and that's sometimes what the kids need to see,
definitely, and that's okay, you know. And I think if we can get out of the habit as adults of saying out loud, oh, I'm really rubbish at this, because we do feel sad when our children say that to us, when our children stop trying at something or suddenly, you know, put the pen down or throw it across the room in some children's case and go, I can't do this, I'm rubbish, you know. That makes us feel sad that the child has that emotion. But if we're modelling that to them, even if it is actually just for the theatre of it, for saying, oh, I'm just going to say that I'm really bad at this, like, that's not great modelling for the child. Actually, to be seen to have a go and then maybe have a bit of a laugh if it didn't turn out the way you wanted to.
It's growth mindset and fixed mindset, isn't it? It's looking at the world as either you are or aren't good at something, or you look at it and I'm going to try this. I'm, you know, and it's. I have things where I go, I'm not very good at this because I haven't invested much time in it.
Completely.
I feel like if I invested time in it, I you know, it doesn't matter what it is, your skill will improve, won't it?
Yeah.
You know, and it's about saying, not saying I'm not good, it's saying, well, I haven't prioritised practice for this.
Of course, yeah.
And that goes, you know, that goes for everything. That goes for, like, I don't know, stuff we do as adults. Like, you go, oh, I'm not very good at running.
Yeah.
And you go, right, well, I just don't practice it. Okay, so the battery died, but we're back.
I was going to say something.
We were talking about growth mindset and fixed mindset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's another reason why forest school sessions are great, because it just gives the adult, you know, the chance to play. And that parent who said to me the other day that she signed up for a block of sessions, not because she felt that she would like it particularly. She said, she described herself as not really very forest schooly, not very outdoorsy, but said that she signed up for her child's sake. She thought it'd be good for her child. And then she said to me the other day, at the end of a 6-week block, that she's just loved it, and she wasn't expecting to like it at all, and actually it's been an experience for her. And that's what I, as a practitioner, would like parents to feel. Mm. That's what I'd like them to feel. And again, as well as parents kind of going, oh, I'm a bit rubbish at this when it comes to crafts, you get some parents kind of feeling a bit embarrassed about joining in and doing it and going, oh, I know this is supposed to be for the kids, but I'm going to have a little play. It's like, of course, it's for everybody. It's
and actually,
just
I think the majority of parents, that, like my experience, is that the majority of parents, the longer they are here, the more that ratio shifts from, I'm 90% here for the kid, and 10%, it's nice to have some chat around a fire, and it slowly, to different people it moves at different speeds, but I think most then get to a point where, I mean, I've seen parents that go, like, you know, we'll go, oh, we're gonna go and go on a bug hunt, and their little toddler's like, oh, I'm happy in the mud kitchen, and I've seen parents go like, well, I'm gonna go and have a look then, like, I'm just gonna go. And they're, so they've shifted that ratio to, like, it's not equally, but it's closer to being equally for them. And
well, it's a bit like when people talk about, you know, what kind of activities would be suitable for this age group. And actually with forest school, there isn't that delineation between, well, this is a toddler activity and this is an activity that's suitable for, like, older primary or for teenagers. Really, everything that you do can be done by anybody, and, you know, in different, slightly different ways.
You just scaffold differently.
Yes.
And you go, right, well, I'll give you all of this to do, or I might have prepped this for you to do.
Yeah.
Or, but it's so that they can, if it's almost... I think of it as if a project's got 9 steps to it, and say 5 of them will be inaccessible to somebody under 5.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there's still 4 that they can do. It doesn't matter if I do the other 5.
Yeah.
If there's an enjoyment in the process of those 4, like there's an enjoyment in the cutting bit or the drilling bit or the painting bit or something, you go, right, well, I'm just going to, you know, do these little bits for you, and you can still do the bigger bit.
Yeah.
So what about then?
What about TAs?
I think we've covered parents. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's other people, which I think is slightly different, because I feel like there's more... It depends on the relationship you have. So sometimes one of us will take a lead on a session, and we've been together, like, doing this together for so long that we don't need to necessarily check in. We just kind of look and go, fire's going down, that's what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I was teaching, I had some really good TAs, and you didn't... It wasn't a, like, what would you like me to do? It was like, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that because I can see value in those things. And actually, I think that's the longer a non-parent adult comes, the more they start to see the little jobs that might go unseen by the parents, like prepping the firewood, keeping it going, making, you know, filling up the hot water, checking that parents aren't going to miss out on something, you know, just going over and going, like, oh, did you know they're going to go and do the clay? Just wanted to make you, you know, make sure you knew.
I mean, do you want to talk about sessions in schools, or do you think that's a whole other conversation?
I mean, I think there's crossovers, because in a school, when I was in schools, although the TAs and the teachers that come out are partly there to follow your lead and help you facilitate the session, they've also got more of a relationship with those children, or a different relationship with those children than you do. And sometimes that's beneficial, because you go, oh, they can go, oh, he doesn't respond well to this, or she really gets on with this, and they can really give you a shortcut into, like, oh, it would have taken me weeks to get to know that about the kid. If you just tell me, brilliant, I've got that. But
on the flip side, they are still, it's quite difficult to shift mindsets from the classroom to outdoors, and to leave the classroom behind for a while, and whatever's happened in the classroom, you know, stays there.
And that's really difficult.
It is really difficult.
You
know, whoever you are...
That's childcare in general, though, isn't it? It's like, how much of a clean slate can you give children? Because we're emotional beings as well, and we remember yesterday when you were a complete nightmare to deal with. And so, with the best will in the world, I want to come in the next day and say, clean slate, we're all doing that, but I know what happened. Yeah. You know, you can't pretend that you don't know what happened.
Yeah. I think we have that sheet, don't we, that we give to teachers and TAs when we go in.
Yeah, it's a crib sheet.
And do a session with a school, and it sort of briefly says not the rules, but the expectations for staff and volunteers whilst at
it's how
school
I
session.
Think of it as this is how we're going to interact with the children.
Yeah.
And some TAs will, some other adults and teachers and TAs will take that as, okay, this is how I'd like you to act, and some will take it as, okay, I understand why you might do it, but I have to follow the school, you know, golden rules or ladder of behaviour or whatever it is. So it's just a beneficial thing. From my point of view, I just think it as like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just telling you. I'm not saying whether you have to do it or not have to do it, but that's the other thing. I think we've covered that.
Yep.
Okay, so this is just a different one.
Yep.
We're going to try and throw in at the end of, so big forest school question, and then another one that's more personal, and I haven't told Gemma what it is before, and actually I haven't thought about it before. The question is, who is your role model, or who are your role models, and why?
Just in life?
In life doesn't have to necessarily be, you know, who, because that's the thing, isn't it? Being a forest school teacher, you are a complete person. Yeah. When you're here, there's no, I think I felt like when I was a teacher, it's a bit more like I'm playing a teacher role, but you don't know everything about me. There are things that I keep at home.
Yeah.
There's and there are still things that obviously you don't bring to forest school. You don't bring your whole personal baggage with you, but I feel like you bring more of it with you. It does influence who you are with the kids.
I don't know. It's quite difficult for me to think of somebody right now that I think, I do meet people that I have a lot of respect for, but I wouldn't say there are figures right
I think
now.
It's very difficult now to find somebody who is infallible enough to think of as a role model. There are points, so like my parents, I think of partly as a role model just because of how they did like anything for me and my sister. So I'd really appreciate that element of it.
Yeah.
And so I take that on as they're a role model in that sense of who I want to be.
Mm.
They're humans. They're not perfect people. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? You're trying to think of anybody. I was trying to think of if I had any old teachers.
Yeah, that's who sprung to mind, actually. That's when you said it and I gave it some thought. And I had one teacher who was my year five teacher. And she was new to teaching, so we must have been probably her first or second class. And she had just travelled around the world, and so her teaching was informed by her travels. And I don't really remember much about the way that she taught, in inverted commas. So I couldn't comment on her sort of methodology, really. But the things that she brought and the stories that she told us and the culture that she brought to our class at that age, growing up in a small town in Dorset, were completely mind-blowing. And I still credit a lot of the things, you know, that I'm interested in to her, definitely, because she's just so different. It was like it's like a different person because she'd traveled.
I'm just sort of tipping into, I don't know, I think my so I was trying to flick back through that catalogue of teachers and who stands out and who, and actually, I mean, I didn't get on with school massively. So I think of teachers and go, you were a big influence because I went, I'm never going to do that.
A negative role model.
Yeah, but it's not quite a role model, is it? It's an influence.
Like
So I think I think I had a role model because I did a lot of martial arts when I was like 10 to 15. I did martial arts every week and ended up teaching the classes and got through that. And that the sensei there was just very much of that kind of like almost military mindset of just like just do it. Was kind of, it sounds really like tacky and like Nike, but it was like you need to stand still. It's like one knows it. You know, he'd be like, just ignore it.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
He was so kind of like, you can make yourself do these things, and that's something that I now carry with me of like I kind of have that thing inside that's like, well, you could make yourself do this. There's not much that I think I physically cannot make myself do this. I'm like, you know, if I needed to go without sleep for an extra couple hours, I could do it. And that feeling. But also he kind of did a lot of because it was again that military thing, it was a lot of negative negative encouragement. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stereotypical, like, get up, come on, you yeah. call this a press up, yeah. come on, get on with it. That really works with me.
Mm.
I have no idea why, but if I'm at the gym or if I'm yeah. struggling with something, there's a voice in my head. Like, so if I'm really struggling to do, like, it doesn't have to be physical. So if I'm really doing some, like, invoices and I'm like, I cannot get my head around this. Mm. There's a voice in my head that's like, how rubbish are you? This is invoices.
That's
like,
quite useful.
Just get on with it. Just, like, just do it.
I think I need that. Can you, like...
Do you want me to just berate you?
Send some my way. Just
anytime,
ring me.
I'm going to be the least... Just empathetic person yeah. now, and you're like, can you what are we doing with it? I just get on with it.
Get on with it, stop moaning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is of the complete great. Opposite of how we are with the kids. I'm so
yeah.
care I think of myself as very caring. I think I've got a huge empathy with the kids. But
yeah.
internally I have that, like,
you have a little army sergeant,
yeah.
a drill sergeant.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't work when he's nice.
At you.
Yeah. Right, okay, I think we'll call it there. We'll put this one out. It will be everywhere that you can get podcasts.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have to think of a way for people to send us questions.
Email them.
Email them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Email questions or Facebook us.
Yeah. So we're Children of the Forest on Facebook, and we're Children of the Forest all together at outlook.com if you want to email us questions. Otherwise, we'll do another one next week.
Yeah.
Crack in.
Bye.
Bye. We'll